All right, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. It is a Tuesday morning, almost said Monday, and again, a little chilly, a little chance of some rain out there this morning. Apparently, the summer is in sight. After the next couple of days, it's actually going to warm up, Kim, and maybe people could get in all those pools that open up this weekend. Oops, sorry.
Are they actually opening now? I mean, how many did open? Because even though it didn't rain like we expected it to, it was in the it wasn't really pool weather.
I think quite a few of them opened up, and people were laying out by them probably, but only the kids had enough guts to actually get in the water. I think that's probably how that went down. Don't you?
Yeah, I don't think I would have been getting in the water myself.
When I had a boat, I used to go to the Lake of the Ozarks on these weekends, and very rarely was the water warm yet on Memorial Day weekend. But I didn't care.
Yeah, the kids don't the water really care. Anyway. No. It's the adults who care.
Yeah, exactly. It's the adults who cared. Hopefully everybody had a good Memorial Day weekend, and you were able to pause for a moment yesterday and remember the reason that we all had Monday off. Not about the barbecue. Grilled some steaks out, but other than that, not about the barbecue. And, you know, remember all the people in North St. Louis who parts of the city that are still living in tents.
Mm-hmm. Oh, their cars.
Oh, it's heartbreaking. I saw my my friend Gary Womack, who works at Channel 4, had reposted a story they did on a lady who's living with her son in a tent on her property, because although the house is destroyed, she doesn't want people in there taking her stuff and looting.
Yeah, that has happened. The mayor is saying it hasn't been as bad as some people are, I guess, thinking it has been. But it's still, they've made multiple arrests. And some of them, they're going after the copper wire. Because obviously they can sell that, so that would be some of these down power lines. I know obviously some of the businesses could be impacted by that, but how low do you have to be after somebody's already had their home destroyed in a tornado in this case to go and loot? That's just like the scum of the earth to be able to go do that and think it should justify that. But I think what's interesting is that so many of these people in North City who were impacted don't have insurance. They had their home passed down from previous generations, and maybe it was paid off. And so they really are just, I guess, waiting to see what will happen with any federal funding that could help them. Because otherwise, if they don't have the money out of pocket, which this would be, I mean, thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands likely to try to rebuild, how do you do it?
Yeah, anything? I don't understand that.
I'm not sure I do either. But
like, I mean, if my home was paid off, I still would have insurance because, you know, like right now, for example.
You never know what will happen.
Right. You don't know what if there's a fire? What if the bad hailstorm ruins your roof? Like right now, I'm in the process of getting a new roof because the hail out there was so bad that it perforated the actual shingle at some houses. And my house is going to get a new roof, some new gutters. And without that, that cost would have probably been $25,000.
So this might sound really harsh, but let me just say this. Obviously, we're required to have car insurance because if you hit another car, then your insurance would pick up the cost of the damage to the other vehicle. Don't believe you're required to have homeowner's insurance, but
unless you have a mortgage.
But why is it okay to not, like, if why should the feds, why should the government have to pay for your costs if you just opted not to have insurance on your home? Does that make sense? The government's having to step in and pay for all these people who didn't have insurance, but they, I guess, opted not to have insurance, or I guess couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
It's like
flood insurance. You know, for years in the areas after the 1993 flood, FEMA would go in and the government would end up rebuilding these homes for people in flood zones. And then a few years later, flood come along and wipe their house out again. Mm-hmm. And eventually they refused to insure some of those because you couldn't get insurance for it, or you had to pay through the nose for it because you lived in a flood zone.
Some insurance, very shisty, where they will do everything. And that's what Josh Hawley was talking about. They're doing everything they can to try to deny these claims, or at least say, oh, we only have to pay for this. I'm glad Holly, you know, is calling on these insurance companies. No.
It's true,
you are going to pay these claims in full.
And I wonder who those companies are. I wish he would name names. I'll just tell you. I mean, we've got Farmers Insurance, and they've already initiated the process of paying the claim. They've already initiated it.
We've had State Farm. In fact, I think we still do. I'm trying to remember if which one I have State Farm for, but because we go through different insurance companies. But I thought I just read an article over the weekend that talked about how State Farm has not been communicative with some of these people who were impacted.
Wow. I don't know.
I don't want to call out State Farm.
I had a good experience with them in a car accident last year involving my daughter. It wasn't her fault. So the other driver's insurance picked up the claim, and it was State Farm, and they dealt with this pretty quickly. So I don't know. Maybe it just depends on the situation. Maybe the situation is different here. I don't know. But hopefully people had insurance and they've got a chance to clean up. You know, there's still lots of ways you can help. We've got all those listed up on our website, I believe, still at 971talk.com. If people want to donate money, I'm guessing they still need some volunteers at this point if you wanted to go down and help out with cleanup, maybe. I would assume that would be part of it, or maybe food distribution. I know Salvation Army and Catholic Charities and a lot of others, Red Cross, are all helping out down there. So any way you can help, that would be fantastic. We're going to talk a little bit later about with Todd Pyra, host of Fox and Friends First, about what happened this weekend. The president, of course, was out at Arlington speaking. He made some people mad because, as he's prone to do, he laid a lot of the blame of what's going on in the country right now, or what has happened, the problems he's having to fix on Joe Biden. And there were people who didn't think that was appropriate for a Memorial Day speech at Arlington. But he's Trump. He does that. He tends to veer off on those tangents sometimes. We're also going to talk a little bit more about who was really running the White House during Joe Biden's term, which I think is something we've all wondered, because it's got to be the greatest cover up in the history of the United States, because we know Biden wasn't in charge. We're going to get to that a little bit this morning, a little later. And we'll get to Dr. John Lott, who is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. He's going to join us this morning for 2A Tuesday at about 7:35. Looking forward to that. We got Drew in this morning for Ethan, who's taking a little extended vacation over the Memorial Day weekend. I think he's going to be back on Wednesday.
Yep, tomorrow.
If I remember correct. Tomorrow?
Tomorrow is Wednesday.
That is right.
I had to tell myself that, too.
That's right.
Short week.
Having Monday off, screwing everybody up. He'll be back tomorrow, but Drew's in this morning. We appreciate that. Matthew Rocchio helping us out as well. Let's try to get to the short list. How about that?
The Mark Cox Short List.
In the familiar laugh, no longer heard, the empty space at Sunday dinner, or the want of a hug or a pat on the back that will never come again. Every Gold Star family fights a battle long after the victory is won, and today we lift you up and we hold you high.
There is the president yesterday with some of his comments at Arlington National Cemetery for Memorial Day.
I'm the congressman that represents Tomar. I came all the way down from the United States after we'd contacted their ambassador, after we'd made formal requests to our ambassador to the El Salvadoran government. And we came here to visit him today. And now they're telling us we got to go all the way back to El Salvador.
Yeah, that poor guy, you know, went all the way down to El Salvador on taxpayer money to grandstand. Claims that Kilmer Abrega Garcia is one of his constituents, even though he's not a U.S. citizen, so he's technically could not be your constituent. And he's mad that they wouldn't grant him access to prison to visit the El Salvador jailee. How about that?
Hello, I am Mayor Brandon Johnson, and I am proud to join you in recognizing and celebrating Africa Day. The continent of Africa is made up of 1.2 billion people.
I bet you didn't know that. Did you celebrate Africa Day yesterday, Kim?
No, that's usually a big holiday for me, I totally missed that one.
But it was Memorial Day, darn it. It was Memorial Day, not Africa Day, but not to the mayor of the city of Chicago.
Remembering that the House began this more than a year ago, it was March of last year when we got our committee chairs together and told them to begin to prepare for this massive reconciliation package. We believed at that time, more than a year ago, that we would win the White House, the Senate, and the House and have unified government and have this really once-in-a-generation opportunity to do so much in one piece of legislation.
Yeah, there's House Speaker Mike Johnson, of course, talking about the big, beautiful bill, which some senators are already grousing about and threatening to kill. So we'll continue to follow that. We're going to try to get a hold of Ryan Schmelz a little later and see what's going on up in Washington, D.C. All right, ran a little long there, Drew. Why don't we get to our national anthem and hit the break? Thank you.
Oh, see, can you see? By the dawn's early light, oh, so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the pale all the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets regular upon the
song right there. Can I just tell you that? Hopefully you played that at your family get-together yesterday. That's awesome. That, you know, I was going to mention, I went out this weekend to Stone Ledge Distillery down in Defiance, and they had a local band down there called Drawl, and they're fantastic, right? It's a great band. If you get a chance to see them, they're playing now and booking at spots all over the area. But I ran into a technology problem, Kim. The guy had some CDs, and I got one from him, and I actually still have a. Do you have a CD player in your car?
I do.
You do?
I had to think about that for a second because I never use it.
I don't either.
I know a lot of the cars don't come with them anymore.
I know.
I think I do. No, I do. I do.
I do too. My truck is 10 years old. It does have a CD player. I had never used it before yesterday, I don't think, or Saturday. And I took their CD and I stuck it in there. It sounded great. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm gonna download a couple of those and use them as bump music because the band is fantastic. And I get home and I go to my laptop for work and it doesn't have a CD player anymore. It doesn't have a CD player.
You have to buy a separate thing that you can attach. I think you can buy something where you can, you know.
I know, and I'm going to have to look at the one over here in the studio and see if it still has a CD tray in it, like the physical computer over here.
Yeah, we should have
unlike the laptop, and to see if I can download the music or put it in my music file or something here so that I can play it. I was very bummed about that.
A couple things. I wonder how many people have a cassette player in their car still.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, you know, we think about how distracted we are behind the wheel and people are texting and they're looking for songs on Spotify, or hopefully you have the Odyssey app, which I will too, and you're kind of trying to find the show you want. But when we didn't have that option with our phones, we still had, at least I had, the big old case of CDs.
Sure.
And you're driving and you're trying to flip through the CDs to figure out which one you want, and then you're changing them out and you're trying to figure out which track you want. So we still were distracted. It was just a different type of distraction.
With the CD case.
With the CD case.
And then with the cassette players before that, where you couldn't fast forwarding was a trouble. It oftentimes wouldn't fast forward just to the beginning of the next song. Some of them would, some of them wouldn't. And then of course, those of us that remember 8 tracks, it was even worse. So
isn't it funny to think about having to rewind, like with a VCR? My friend going to her house, she had this really cool machine where it would like crazy fast rewind the VHS, and I thought that machine was so cool. Instead of having to manually at our house, hit rewind.
Hit rewind.
Yeah.
Well, people don't. People our age would appreciate it, but people my age will appreciate it. Others won't. So a lot of people are going back to vinyl now. Vinyl's kind of making a comeback.
We have a record player,
and you have to go out and find a record player.
We just forgot to buy speakers with
and,
it.
And I regret when my father passed away years ago, and we were. We had a garage sale before my mom moved. One of the things that I let her sell without really thinking about it was his sound system. He had like a Sansui receiver and a nice turntable and all that stuff. And I let her sell it. And now I kind of wish I hadn't, because people aren't going back and looking for CDs necessarily, because a lot of them don't have CD players, right? But they are going back and looking for vinyl, which I think is interesting, because it's a different sound.
Yeah.
And the quality is not as good, generally speaking. I mean, you can argue that if you want to.
It depends. I've heard some really good quality record. I don't know. Maybe it depends on the speakers. The quality of the actual player itself.
Yeah.
There's something that's cozy about it. Like when I think about, I love Frank Sinatra. Like I think about playing Frank Sinatra on as a record. I'm like, there's something about that that just is like cozy to me. That's probably not the right word I'm looking for, but I just like that.
Yeah. No, I get it. It's something. Anyway, if I can get the music from the band to actually download, I'll try to play some of that for you as bump music, and you can hear these guys playing around the area. I don't know where all they play, but DRAWL, Drawl, is the name of the band, and sort of rock, country rock almost. It's really
country?
It really appealed to me. I just have to tell you. And the copy he gave me was from a recording they did in their basement somewhere. I mean, in a basement recording studio, not the kind of high-tech recording studio you would think. It still sounded fantastic. So if I can get it up and running, I'm going to play it for you here coming up in just a couple of minutes. All right, we'll get to a break here. And when we come back, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim. Stay tuned.
Kim on a Whim.
This is just kind of a sad story, a weird story. I have a lot of thoughts on this story to sum it up. Okay, so there is a gentleman in Europe who is let's call him a regular sperm donor. And his sperm, his donation, has been used by at least 67 families through IVF.
Wow.
And now what's come out is that 10 of the children who have worked with him have been diagnosed with either leukemia, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, or some other type of cancer. So there's some concern from people, understandably, about, well, first of all, why was this not caught? And the other part of this would be, should there be some sort of a cap on how many people can work with one person? Okay, because again, at least 67 total families have. I don't even know the right way to phrase this.
But do they think it's genetic?
Yes, they're saying that they believe this was some rare genetic variant. Now, there is some testing that goes through anyone who's doing this. There would be testing, but they're saying that basically it would be almost impossible to be able to pick this up, because even when they're doing the testing initially, that the guy came back healthy and that they wouldn't even have necessarily discover this. It wouldn't have been detectable. So it wouldn't have been linked to the cancer, even through the standard screening procedures, is what they're saying, that the donor was in good health at the time.
I just think ethically they should put a limit on how many times they'll let one individual donate. I just do. And they don't care. Clearly, if they have no ethics, they just care about the fee they're making in exchange for the sperm transfer, right?
Exactly.
Now, this is in a foreign country.
Right.
Which one?
This is just Europe. They're talking about Europe because he's been doing this. It's European Sperm Bank is who this guy went through. So there were the, I guess
ESB.
They
I can see their, I can see their, the logo on the outside of their building, ESB.
They recruit donors in Denmark, Germany, Netherlands. So I'm not really sure. It doesn't say specifically where the families were, but it's multiple countries across Europe that do this. Can you tell I'm searching for words here?
I'm sorry. My brain has gone somewhere it shouldn't. I'm starting to think of advertising logos for them, but I'm not going to say
Mark,
it.
Mark, you would go there with that.
Do you get paid more if you're an athlete, you think?
I don't know. Do you? Like, are there certain profiles? I imagine there are women looking for men of maybe a certain height or a certain athletic background. Maybe a certain education background.
Well, I'm sure the men, though,
want...
too. Like, think about it.
Well, the men don't care.
No, that's a lie.
No, they don't.
No. I refuse to believe that. I think
the men that are donating
want the money. I thought you were talking about the father.
No, the donors.
On the receiving
don't
end.
Care.
Oh, of course the donors don't care. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about on the other side, the family. They would, the mother and the father probably would be very particular, which. It's interesting, this whole debate about IVF and stuff has really been top of mind for a lot of people because obviously we've been talking about abortion and what happens with all of these embryos, but the baby. I mean, there's just so many before they're implanted, like they're just, the way they're discarded. It's very interesting because I never really thought much about it, and now a lot of people are talking about it. This is one of those situations where... Okay, maybe there needs to be some stricter regulations. If this is going to happen, you need to be cautious because look what now has come out of this.
Right, but tell me what was the impetus for this story. Well, I mean, this is an unusual case. Is this just happened to be one that they looked into where a high percentage of this individual donor's children ended up with cancer?
Well, now they're worried about the others, the dozens of others who were conceived... through this. But I mean, here in the United States, there's not many restrictions. In fact, I remember looking at that because there was a story that I had covered on a previous Kim on a Whim where some guy supposedly had technically fathered a thousand kids.
There's a
show out there. It's like Man with 1,000 Kids. It's like it was some, you know, badge of honor that he wore that he had fathered 1,000 children and obviously didn't know any of them because he's the biological father, but he's not raising the children.
How much money did he make off that? You got to wonder.
The guy with 1,000 kids.
Does it say how much they pay them to donate?
No, but I'm sure it depends on the country, right?
The European Sperm Bank different than the American Sperm Bank, ASB?
I can't say that ASB I looked into that specifically, but I see your curiosity in all this.
No, I have no curiosity for me personally. I'm just wondering there's got to be a financial draw to it.
Here's
to motivate somebody to walk in the door, have to look people in the eye and know what you're there to do.
Here's what it says.
In other words.
According to Google, many European sperm banks offer financial compensations for sperm donation. The European Sperm Bank, for example, pays up to 40 euros per approved donation, which is what, like 50 some odd American dollars?
Yeah.
60 bucks, I don't know, something like that.
Wow.
So if
not even a bar tab. What the hell?
So let's just say that this guy... Let's just talk about the guy who, you know, 1,000 children. And he's just bopping around all over the world making these donations.
Bopping?
Well, that's the word that came to mind, Mark. I'm going to go with it. Like, this is weird. I mean, does anyone else feel this way, that there should be something done about this? Or is everyone else just A-OK with this guy going around and making...
Well, I mean, you know, in a lot of these, I don't know, a lot of these... We were just having the discussion the other day about the IVF clinics, the one that got bombed out in California. Was it bombed or did the guy shoot somebody or what did he do out there? I'm trying to remember.
Well, wasn't he super...
He was against...
He's very anti-pro-life.
Procreation.
Yeah.
or for some odd reason. But I wonder what percentage of those that is donated. I mean, oftentimes I know that if you go
bombing,
through
by
in
the way.
Vitro, what's that?
It was a bombing.
Was it? I thought so.
Yeah.
Sometimes you go through in vitro, they're using the actual mother and the father, but if one of the two isn't viable, they have to go somewhere else for the
donor,
for the
which
donor,
is where
right?
that, yes, where this guy
or
would
I imagine
come
in where
to
this
play.
Would come in.
And I don't, unless you're going through this right now, which by the way, I'm really, really sorry if you're dealing with infertility. I can't imagine. I know plenty of couples who've dealt with that. It would be excruciatingly painful.
It would be. When, you know, we've been blessed to not have to have
Same.
Gone through that for sure. And my children so far have been blessed. Mm-hmm. My child who's had children has been blessed not to have to go through that. But it would be, I don't know, would you... I think there have to be some guidelines there. And maybe we have the guidelines in the U.S. that they don't have there.
There's not many. There's not that many in the United States. I remember looking into this when we were talking about that guy with 1,000 kids or whatever. There's not as many as you would think. I'm kind of surprised in the year 2025, with this being so common, that they haven't been wanting to regulate this more. Now, maybe you brought up earlier the money factor. There is definitely, it is a, I would imagine, a lucrative business for these clinics. So why would they want to limit it?
Yeah.
It would be a matter of state or federal restrictions being slapped on, and I don't think that would go over well.
Do the children have a right to know who their father is?
That's an interesting question. You mean if IVF
well,
is done?
For years, if you put a child up for adoption, those adoption records were sealed, and slowly many states started not allowing that anymore. They unsealed them or whatever because kids wanted to go back and find out who their birth parents were. I just wonder if it's the same way, if they have rules where somebody's identity can be, you're just a sperm donor number 1007, and you never know the name of that individual?
I would have to imagine that they're...
Have they identified
the
this
dad,
guy by name?
It's not in the article.
Okay.
I would have to imagine that the donor would want to be kept anonymous. Like, I just watched it when I was looking into this story. I watched some video about some guy. He had fathered 19 children, and he went and met all of the children. And each child, they were lined up. They're all grown adults at this point, and they're all wearing a different, you know, one, two. Each person had a number on their shirt. And it was just, it was weird. And they're all,
yeah,
it felt like that. And they're all running up to this guy, you know, they're in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and like, hi, Dad. And it just felt like,
wow.
I don't know, it felt cringy to me.
First of all,
weird.
You'd feel cheated in a way that you...
Yeah,
were responsible for that life, and you'd played no role in its upbringing or anything. I just don't know how people could do that. I my conscience would not allow me to be a donor like that.
Oh, same.
It just wouldn't.
No, I agree. I mean, think about one of the biggest questions I think people have is, where did I come from?
So if your motivation...
That is why Ancestry.com is so popular. That is why 23andMe has been so popular. People had this fascination, understandably, with where did I come from, my roots. They want to know their parents, even if, in many cases, even if they don't want the parent in their life because they've left them or whatever the case may be. I think there's still this innate feeling in all of us of, we want to know where we came from. People are searching for the meaning of life, and that is part of it.
Well, if your desire to do it is purely monetary, because the amount of money you get every time you walk through the door and go in the little booth, then that's a problem. I think there has to be some regulation on that.
Agreed.
Anyway, before you go to the ESB, European Sperm Bank,
Mark,
or the American
Why don't you draw up a sketch of what you think that their logo should be?
I can't. I just can't. I can't bring myself to say it on the radio. I'm sorry. All right. we'll get to a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Officer responsible for George Floyd's death is currently serving two concurrent 20-plus year sentences. A state jury convicted him of murder. He pleaded guilty to federal civil rights violations, netting him more than two decades in prison. Some conservatives are calling for a federal pardon.
Well, I think the reason that I'm advocating for the pardon is because Derek Chauvin is not guilty.
President Trump has not indicated he would pardon Chauvin. If it happened, Chauvin would remain in prison on state charges. charges. Still, the idea frustrated Floyd's family as they struggled to move on.
Yeah, that happened this weekend up in Milwaukee as well. The fifth anniversary of the George Floyd riots. If you remember that, well, I should say of George Floyd's death and then the riots that followed. And I don't know. I have not heard the Trump administration say anything about possibly pardoning Derek Chauvin. If they did, he's going to remain in jail on state charges, even if the federal civil rights charges, if he happened to be pardoned of that.
Don't you think the pardon would come just like most do, which is on the very last day of the president's term? That would be a very controversial pardon. I mean, a lot of these pardons are. You think about Dr. Fauci and Hunter Biden, but that one in particular would be really big and likely spark more riots.
Potentially. I mean,
I'm not saying he shouldn't do it, but I'm just saying that is going to have some huge implications.
I think you're right. I do think, and I have read, and I would encourage other people to read some of the details of the autopsy that was done on George Floyd. There were a number of things that contributed to his death, and I'm not 100% certain that it was just the police officer's fault. But once that image got released, that's the difficulty here. And I don't know that most people would ever believe that it was anything other than that. So you're right. It would just lead to more rioting. Mm-hmm. But it was the civil rights charge on top of that pursued by the Biden administration that I think probably sticks in the craw a little bit. He was already going to jail for life because he was charged with murder at the state level for what happened up there. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. That was going on over the course of the weekend. And then, of course, there was Hillary. In honor of your Memorial Day, the lady who really, 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 really believes the glass ceiling prevented her from becoming president, she bumped her head up against it there. And, you know, Donald Trump really owes her an apology because he's now prevented two women from becoming president of the United States. Can you imagine that? Drew, isn't that awful? Drew's smiling at me like, don't draw me into this. And so this weekend, what did Hillary come out and say about her about Memorial Day? Right, she basically was blasting Trump for all of this, but when they got her on camera, she kind of backed off that a little bit. I noticed, which I don't know if you give her any credit for that or not. Go to cut four.
I think it's a very tangible way of remembering our veterans, those who lost their lives, everyone who served, and we need more of that.
Yeah, thank you, Hillary, for recognizing that instead of using it to blast Donald Trump. She encouraged people on X to go to Memorial Day celebrations or remembrances and get up in people's face and tell them how horrible Donald Trump is and the big beautiful bill.
She's like one of those, let's just say, loser keyboard warriors who's really brave when they're sitting behind their phone or their laptop and they're willing to put just about anything up there. And then as soon as they have to go on camera or say it to someone's face, all of a sudden, a little change of tune, if you will.
Ask Vince Foster. He might have some disagreement with that. I'm just saying. Hillary Clinton, do you think she would ever run for president again?
No.
You think she's done?
No, 100% she's done.
Because I don't know. I think Hillary, who's been married to the philanderer-in-chief for a long time, Bill Clinton, the original philanderer-in-chief, probably looks at people like Pete Buttigieg, who are thinking of running for president, apparently seriously thinking of running for president, has already gone to New Hampshire because he's seriously thinking of running for president. And she's thinking to herself, wait a minute. If that guy can run for president, I need to run again. I'll bet she's personally offended by people like Pete Buttigieg.
I'm just thinking of the scene from what am I thinking? have you been personally victimized by Regina George? I'm sure that's not the scene that's playing out in your head, but that's what's coming up in my mind right now.
Not.
Mean Girls, that's the movie mean I'm girls. Looking for. My gosh.
You think the country would think of that?
No.
No?
I don't. We're a basket of deplorables, Mark.
Yeah. What? Bridesmaids. So I went and I saw the Tom Cruise movie yesterday, Mission Impossible. And one of the previews is for a remake, not a remake, it's almost like a sequel to Bridesmaids.
That was a funny movie.
Where one of the girls in Bridesmaids is now a bridesmaid in another wedding, and they even play on the bridesmaids thing a little bit in this movie. And my wife's like, that's not going to be as funny. There's no way I'm going to see that. I was thinking to myself, I don't know. Maybe. We'll talk more about Mission Impossible as well this morning because I had a chance to see that yesterday. You may be surprised by my reaction to it. We'll get to all that and more coming up. Stay tuned.